which glowed under an orange light. It bore a gold crown between its horns. Dom sensed its fear, smelled the rankness, saw the sweat-matted hair on its flanks. But its hooves merged with the floor, and the floor and skin merged and flowed continuously. It reared and leapt through the auto-chef. Dom saw the huntsman on his black horse when he brushed through the wall of the drive cabin like bracken. He wore white, except for a red cloak hung with silver bells, and his face beneath yellow hair that billowed in an intangible wind was pale and set. For a moment he looked at Dom, who saw his eyes gleam momentarily like mirrors, and a hand go up protectively. Then horse and rider were gone. Chell. He almost seemed real. Isaac grinned. He almost certainly is somewhere. Uh-huh. They say interspace is where all possibilities intersect. I got the feeling he sensed us. A spirit on the wind, no more. Dom stood up unsteadily. The walls still looked as if they had been made of second-hand moonlight. Now there's an illusion I've heard about. A red globe the size of a fist drifted easily through the shielded windows. He watched, fascinated, as it passed through the auto-chef, part of the main cable conduit, and the floating figure of Ig, who stirred uneasily in his sleep. It disappeared in the general direction of the matrix computer. It was an interspace interpretation of a star, probably BD plus 6793 degrees. They were harmless enough, though a red giant or a spitting white dwarf could be unnerving to watch as it passed through your body. Dom looked around after hearing a scuffle. Hirschhagen was wedged under the auto-chef in the fetal position. It was almost an hour before he was persuaded to emerge, blinking with embarrassment. "We phenobes are not perhaps so resilient as you," he began. "Interspace scares us. It is a region of uncertainty. Who knows that we may not cease to exist? You appear to be all here, physically and mentally." The phenobe nodded sheepishly. Isaac closed the maintenance panel on the auto-chef. "It's a 706 model quality job," he said. "I can't find a printout for the menu anywhere." Dom nodded. "I think great-great-grandfather intended the one jump as a one-man ship. I should imagine the menu is programmed into it." "Quite. He'd be so busy fleeing from his creditors he'd have no time. Sorry, Chief, I think maybe I stepped out of line a little there." "It's okay. He was a bit of a pirate. But, according to the family history, he was a strict sadomist, too. Simplicity was a virtue. I shouldn't expect it to run to anything more appetizing than bread and maybe fish." The auto-chef used simple molecule-breeding techniques to duplicate dishes stored as probability equations in its menu. The one aboard One Jump Ahead gurgled after it was switched on, broke into a low buzz for several minutes, and extruded a table from a base slot. Another, larger slot opened, and the meal slid out. They stared at it for several seconds. Dom reached out and picked up a crystallized fruit gingerly. Hirschhagen coughed. "The intricate bird with the honey glaze I recognize," he murmured. "It's a croupier swan. I think the blobs are cream." Dom took the lid off a silver dish. "Some class of a shellfish baked in... well, it tastes of eggs." Isaac picked up a cut glass goblet and downed the contents in one swallow. "Old overcoat," he said. "The genuine stuff. Two glasses, and you lift off on a pillar of flame." They stared at him. He put down the glass. "Haven't you seen a robot drink before?" he asked. "We were wondering," Dom stopped, embarrassed, "where it goes. We new model class fives can derive power from the calorific content of organic substances." He reached for his chest panel. "If you like, I can..." "We believe you," said Dom. He looked down at the table again. "Did I say something about the virtues of simplicity? I think it may be against Sadimist laws to eat this." "You will not waste," quoted Hirschhagen. "There are times when it is a pleasure as well as a duty to follow the one commandment." 10 minutes later, Dom said, "Hirschhagen, this damn black jam tastes of fish. It's caviar." "Caviar? I'd always wondered. On Widdershins, only poor people are allowed to eat it. I suppose they get used to it." 20 minutes later, the auto-chef digested the remains of the meal. Ig drifted towards the matrix room, chewing a fish head. A small, burned-out wreck of a star passed crosswise.